We're in 1 John. If you would, turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. And let's recap what John told us about love just in chapter 4. I mean, gracious, 1, 2, and 3 are so full. But just in chapter 4, in verses 7, 8, you remember that he said that because God is the source of love, we ought to love one another. In verses 9 through 11, he said that because God has shown his love by giving us his son, because of the great gift of his son, we ought to love one another. In verse 12, he said that because God makes his love visible to the world through us, when we love one another, we should love one another because it's a sign to the world that God is real. But John's not done. He saves the biggest truth for last. Here in verses 13 through 16, he says, you need to love each other because God himself is love. Now you're going, Pastor, that's so repetitive. Oh, it is so not. Listen to the nuances of love. I love you, Father, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. Oh, that's all the same, right? No. He says, because God is love, we're to love one another. Now, that's huge. Stand with me in honor of reading God's word. By this we know that we abide in him. And he in us. Okay, stop there for a minute. This is how we know that God is in us, he's saying. And this is how other people will know that not only are we in God, but that God is in us. He says, because he has given us of his spirit. It's going to be important for us. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Do you love the Lord? Do you love God? Do you love one another? You say, you know, I'm going to tell you, listen, it's easy to love somebody who sent his son to die for me. Amen? It's easy to love somebody who gave us everything we have, are, and ever will be. But what about those ham-headed heathens out there that are just hard to love? Okay. That's me. Do we love each other? And that's what he's saying. By this, we know that we're living in God. Not just that we love God, which we should, but are we loving each other? Even through the hurricane. Pray with me. Father, thank you for the things that we learned this week, even in the hardships. And God, forgive me where I failed and help me to do better, to love those that you surround me with and those that you bring in my path and those that work so hard to serve and those who don't. God, help me to love those that are so lovable and sweet and those that are so hard to love. You've still called us to love. So today, Father, help us to reflect what you've taught us in your word, that by this shall all men know that we belong to you. we love one another. We ask for this in Jesus' name because we need your help. And all God's people said, amen. Would you be seated? Now, if you're like me, you look at this command and you go, man, that sounds good, but how in the world am I going to do that? God gives us the answer right there in verse 13. He says, by this we know that we abide in him and he is us because he has given us of his Spirit. Friends, that's how we do it. Not in our own ability, because our ability kind of stinks at times, like our refrigerators after this week. But in God's strength and ability, God gives us his Spirit. We know the kind of love God gives, don't we? We've been talking about it before. The agape, that self-giving, selfless love. Here's where we're reminded that agape only comes from God. He said, he has given us his Spirit. You don't love like you should. I don't love like I should unless it's with God's help. Amen? You just don't. And if you've ever wondered, why do I struggle with those folks sometimes who make it so hard to love them and even to be nice to them and sometimes just not to be mean or talk bad about them? How do I do that? From God. It's the agape. And it can only be applied in your life and in my life by God himself. It is only by the Holy Spirit of God abiding within us that we truly love. Folks, don't think that it's you. Your ability is for nothing. It is your surrender to God that will be everything in this. Wherever the Holy Spirit is, he produces fruit. That's just the way it is. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23 says, the fruit of the Spirit, you remember all those fruits? The fruit of the Spirit is love. That comes from God. Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And like the growth of any fruit, you can't do it. How many of you have ever planted a seed to watch it grow? Anybody, even, you know, tomatoes or radishes or carrots or even a tree of any kind? How many of you? Okay. I want to see, because you're the experts now. I planted a little garden one time. And I watered it. And I tended it. And it didn't matter how much I stood over it and went, grow. You know who caused the growth? And then when the little bitty limb, the little leaf popped up and it was going so slow, I began to tug on it to make it go faster. And that really helped kill it. Like any plant in this world, you can till the soil, you can plant the seed, but you can't make it grow. Only God can do that. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is about. God produces it in you. You don't produce it in you. You don't even produce it in anybody else. Only God can do that. We can plant the seeds, prepare the soil, water it, but growth and production comes from whom? God the Father. If you go back and look in this chapter, back to verse 4, remember, it says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, right? God is the one who is greater. The one that is in you is that Holy Spirit. Let's go back and look here at verse 13 again. By this we know that we are living, abiding in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. That's how you know that you belong to God. If you have no fruit in your life, something's wrong with your life. You don't have God. You don't have Christ. It is that Holy Spirit producing fruit that is the evidence of God in you. That's how you do it. And you go, how do those people do it? They lean on the Lord when you don't. This week, I wish I had time to start calling out the names I've been given already in the last week. I've already mentioned my staff. Folks, we are so blessed. Thank you for letting me have the staff I've got. What blessings they are. But God used many of you this week. Our deacons, fellow servants, He used you this week in a time of hardship. And I don't have to tell you, do I? It's not our ability, amen? It is God's ability in us. The ability to allow God and to allow God's grace to shine through when the circumstances around us are so dark. I wasn't going to do this, but God just put it on my heart. I'm going to share the events of yesterday with Brenda and myself. And I'm going to ask her to come in a moment and share some of this. I don't like this part. We had some victories yesterday, but that's not the part I don't like. I had some failures yesterday, too. I don't like that part, but I'm going to share them with you. Because I hope that you'll learn from your pastor falling flat on his face at times. Because maybe you won't. Amen. There were some events that were victorious when we let God work. And God produced fruit. And we planted seeds. And there were a couple of events that not so much. So let me just share what happened. Yesterday morning, we get up, I wake up about 5 o'clock, and, you know, I need the coffee to get going for the day. So we get going, and it's not too long. By 7 o'clock, we're on the road, and we're headed to the airport because we're going to fly back, right? Because we want to be with you. So we're going to get home early so that we have the day to prepare and get things together. And we get to the airport, and things are just hustling and bustling, and they come over the intercom, and they say, we need 11 volunteers to get off the plane. And Brenda and I look at each other and go, we're offering an incentive, some ticket money, for 11 people if you'll get off the plane. And Brenda and I look at each other and go, this is for somebody else. Nothing's happening, folks. So they come back on and they say, this plane will not leave the airport until 11 people volunteer to leave the plane. And things start to move. And I look at Brenda. She looks at me. And our grandson has a birthday party, 6 o'clock tonight. We want to be there, right? Well, after a while, there's still not enough volunteers. So Brenda goes to the counter, and this is how it goes. And I'm coaching her from the side, you know, ask about this, you know, when she's going up there, and ask them. So we find out, okay, if you volunteer for this, you have the opportunity to get some vouchers for, a different trip. And by the way, there are no more flights out of Colorado Springs to go to Houston. So we're going to fly you to Denver where you can get on a plane later. I look at her. We can do this. We're going to volunteer for the cause. Are you with me? You know, we're going to get back a little late. Maybe even make some of the party, right? Those people lied to us. They didn't fly us to Denver. By the time that we got our vouchers, they were going to taxi us to Denver from Colorado Springs. What? What? And not only that, their voucher didn't cover our expenses. We had to pay an extra $50 to get to for their mess ups, and we get in this taxi and we're riding up the taxi, and I'm sitting in the back praising God. And Brenda whispers over very sweetly, and she says,
don't forget, we're to be an example and a witness. I'm witnessing.
So I'm having a hard time. I'm unhappy with that they didn't fly us. Unhappy that we're having this journey through the terrible traffic. I'm worried about getting there on time. Well, this little girl who's driving us, Brenda starts sharing and witnessing with her. Thank God for the pastor's wife. Say it. Amen. And nothing else. Thank you very much. I'm looking at the back row back there. Y'all watch it. So Brenda shares, and I get in the spirit of the thing, and I share a few things. And when we leave, we tip her nicely. And I told her, I said, we're going to be praying for you. We'll remember her name. So you pray for Denise, won't you? A single mom who's making a difficult time getting things made. And by the way, the very fact that she got to drive us to Denver made her money for the week that she wouldn't have made, because it was about $300 that she wouldn't have made instead of just getting a little short ride. So that was an answer prayer, but she might share more about that. So we get to the airport, and the first tickets they gave us, we don't get on that plane, the one that gets back in time for the party. So we get there, and we're going, okay, we're going to get on this plane, this one. And the first thing we hear from the report is, we need 16 people. That's okay. We didn't get on anyway. We weren't even on there to be one of the 16 people. There's a point to all this, so hang with me, okay? I know you're going, this is a long story. So the next flight's coming up. It's a couple of hours later. And you know it's delayed. So we wait and we wait and we wait and we wait. We finally get on that plane and they get out on the tarmac and we wait and we wait and we wait. So finally, late as it is, the plane takes off. Whew. 30 minutes into the flight, they come on. This is the captain speaking. Due to for unforeseen circumstances in Houston, we're going to be returning to Denver. I look at Brenda and I praise the Lord. Brenda's laughing. And I want to punch her. So we get back to the airport and they say, okay, everybody deplane. Get off, and we're going to leave in about 20 minutes. So an hour and a half later, we get on the plane, and we come back, and we're finally on our way, and it's 1 o'clock in the morning, or after, or sometime after 1 o'clock in the morning, and the plane's coming into Houston, right? We make it all the way here, and as they're coming down for a landing, we look out, you can actually see the trees, and you get there, and all of a sudden, the airplane goes, they abandon the landing. So you know me, I'm praising God. And I shout through the cabin, this is your captain speaking, we're returning to Denver. A few people laughed around me, but not many. Well, he makes a trip around, you know, Texas again, and we come back in, and we finally land, and we get there. And, you know, we got taken off of this plane, but guess where our luggage was not? It went with the first plane. Now you're going, Pastor, this is a long story, but wait, there's more. So we get off and we go to the carousel where, and to see, help me here, see something, whatever it is, where you get off there. Terminal, sea terminal, thank you. Terrible name for where you're flying in from an airplane, terminal. So we go down to the place. And of course, we know our luggage is not going to be on the carousel. So I'm asking the guy, where do you go? And he's trying, I can't understand him. Hearing aids are dying. because they've been on since, 5 o'clock that morning, not hearing. Where? No. Finally, we get there, and there is this line of about 20 people trying to find their luggage. So I'm praising God again. And they finally look up our luggage when we finally get up there. I mean, we're talking 30, 40 minutes of wait. Brenda's looking all over. So we get there and we find, and I ask him, I said, I need my luggage. We can't find it. He goes, oh, I found them. I said, oh, thank you, Lord. I really did. I praised God that time. And he says, they're in B terminal. I said, where's that? And he goes, all the way to the end. He said, you go down a flight, you take the shuttle. So we go down a flight, and the shuttles are broken. So Brenda and I take a 15, 20 minute hike all the way over to B. And you're going, Pastor, this is a long story. What's the point? There is a point, but wait, there's more. So we get there. Brenda will tell you about the little family that she saw, a man and his daughter, and she's going to tell you about that, sitting off to the side while I'm going upstairs trying to find our luggage. Well, I go upstairs to find the luggage. Brenda delves off into ministry, and I go up there, and there's a girl on a computer and on the phone. And, well, this is a good imitation. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I stand in front of her. Nobody but me. And I see our luggage. Ma'am. She will not make eye contact and kept doing this. And she's laughing and she's giggling and she's talking. Literally, I wait over 5 minutes and finally I walk past her and get the luggage. Praising Jesus. I get the luggage, and she lets me get all the way out, and I'm walking away from her, and that's when she says, sir, you can't do that. Your pastor made a failure. I look back at her, and I said, watch me. Sir, you can't take that luggage. And I said, I waited for 5 minutes in front of you and you wouldn't even look at me. I'm taking my luggage. She says, sir, you can't do that. And I very kindly said, call security. And I walked away. And I don't know what that little girl's night was like. And I'm so sorry. Meanwhile, Brenda is downstairs doing ministry. So perhaps at this point, Brenda, why don't you share with them what something good that happened last night, this morning. So you tell them about the little family that you encountered.
Well, first of all, I will just share back to the taxi. One thing, never fail to pray even in your worst, when you're feeling really tested. Right before we went to go to the taxi, because selfishly, I'm ringing guys back here. Anyway, selfishly, I told Gary when they said we were going to have a taxi, I said, we've got to stop and pray. Please pray. I said, because I was really nervous, because all I've ever seen of taxis, because we don't take taxis, is really fast drivers driving erratically. So I'm terrified to take a two-hour taxi ride to Denver. So I said, can we please stop and pray? And so he prayed, and I said, just ask for two things. I said, one, that we get a safe driver and a clean car. And so selfishly, like, I was just thinking for myself at that point. I wasn't even thinking, God, give us a good opportunity to share. I was thinking clean car and a safe driver. So we stopped and prayed right there in the airport, and we went out, and the very first, and I stopped and looked on the app. I said, I don't even know who's safe, who should we get in with? And So I looked up and I saw online connected to a government site, a name, a taxi name. And so I said, okay, there's a couple of them. So let's go with that. At least it's a safe bet. So the very first, as we're passing the first car, the lady rolls down her window and she says, where are y'all going? And we told her Denver. And she said, I can take you. So God had a divine appointment right there. We prayed selfishly, or I prayed selfishly, honestly, but God still prayed for that appointment, or took that for praying for an appointment. And so we got to share for 2 hours with her. And one of the things when he talked about praying for her is that she's been homeless for 6 years. And she had a bad experience with the church because in the midst of her homelessness, and reaching out and making a connection with the church and visiting, they treated her in a way that was hurtful to her. And so she was really put off from church and church bodies and stuff. And so God gave us the opportunity to kind of help her to re-envision the church. And she had accepted the Lord, she said, 14 years before. And she remembered that, but she'd gone away from the Lord and from the church because of just things in life. And so I feel like that's what God had for us, was to be able to help her reconnect with the church. And she said she was going to go back and try and make, you know, get involved again because of her children. So then when we go later and fast forwarding through all these events that Gary's talked about, another incident on the plane when the pilot came on and said, we're going to have to go back to Denver, IAH is in a gridlock because of the weather, we just kind of start, like, we're looking at each other and, like, I was like, this does not catch God by surprise. He knew this. He knows that. We don't know what this is for. We don't know why this is happening, but God does, so we're just going to have to trust. And Gary's like, yep, yep. And so, you know, we're constantly throughout the day, just like everybody does, we're trying to keep a grip on our spiritual walk with the Lord. We're constantly battling for ourselves to be in a right spirit. It's like always having to bring ourselves back to the right focus and the right place so that we're not reflecting badly on the Lord. And it's very tempting. It was very tempting. And sometimes, like he said, probably better than worse than better sometimes. But when we got to the end of that long terminal walk across, and he was not kidding, it is a 15 to 20 minute walk from without the shuttle. As he's going up to go try and find our luggage, there was a man and his little 3-year-old daughter sitting on the floor in that hallway. And if you've ever been into the basement of IH, which that's what I call it, the terminal walkway where the shuttles run, it's just a long carpeted hallway. It's not air conditioned. And they're sitting down there, and he just looks so kind of defeated. And so I start talking to him while Gary's going to get our luggage. And he said, we're from out of town, so we're just trying to find Terminal B, because I just was asking him what was going on with them. And he said, we're just trying to find Terminal B. And I said, okay. Well, I said, well, this says A here, and I think Terminal B's passed. And I said, and then I went on up to meet Gary where he was at. As soon as I got to the top, there was a sign that said Terminal B. On the second floor, it said Terminal B. And I was like, I need to go let this man know. So Gary gets our luggage, and I said, I'll be right back. What he does not mention is my phone is somewhere on a mountain in Colorado. So we have one phone between us. So it's really scary for us to separate, because if we lose, we have no ability to contact each other once we're separated. But I said, I've got to go run down and tell this guy that he is here, you know, because they're just sitting there. He's just sitting there kind of like this on the floor with his little daughter. And so I went down and I told him, I said, hey, it's right up here. If you just go up these stairs, go to the left, it's right here. You're at Terminal B. So he goes, oh, he said, great, thank you. And so we come upstairs. We get to the top of the stairs. He comes up there and he said, I'm looking for my wife. He said, she's supposed to be in a bathroom somewhere in Terminal C. And I'm like, and he goes, I think it might be that one over there. He didn't know. She just went upstairs, took off to the bathroom. I said, well, I'll go in and check for you. So I walked in. I'm calling this lady's name and saying, you know, I think it was Leah. And I said, Leah. And she goes, I'm in here. And I said, your husband just wanted to make sure of where you were. So I was able to tell him that. So beyond that, we're still struggling. We can't even get our we can't get a hold of our shuttle company that's supposed to take us back to our parking lot. And by now, we're at about 1, 2 in the morning. And I start talking. We're trying to make contact. They're not answering the phone. We're like, what are we going to do? And then I go back, and I'm talking to this guy, and he tells me, he said, we...
Different family, yeah.
No, this is still the same
one. Oh, okay,
yeah,
sorry.
This is still the same one. So his last name's Roach. And anyway, he's telling me what happened to them. They got their flight got canceled. They sat on the tarmac that day for 3 hours with their little three-year-old. They hadn't eaten since the morning before. And so when his wife came out and all of this, and I said, you know what, give me your phone number. I said, if there's any way we can, you know, connect with you later, help, we'll try to, you know, try to do that. Because he had already called all the hotels, all the car rental places. There is no room to be had, not even here in Magnolia. We've been called as far as here. No room to be had, no rental cars available. And so I said, well, if we're trying to get to our truck, and I said, if we're able to do anything, you know, I'll text you back. So I had, or call you. So I had his number, and I took it with me. And we're just, at this point now, we're just trying to get home. We're exhausted. So we go to where we got dropped off for the shuttle, and we wait and wait and wait and wait. There's no shuttles coming. There's another couple there with their little baby who has been waiting over an hour. And no shuttles were coming and picking them up. And they've been trying to call, do the app. And, they're very frustrated. Their flight got canceled into Mexico. They were going to Mexico City. And the pilot came on and told them, we're going to have to cancel your flight because customs or something was closed in Mexico City. And so they were not going to be allowed to land because they didn't have anybody that could do customs for us. So they got dropped. They were sitting in this parking spot with no food, nothing, for over an hour. And so Gary had decided at this point he's going to go up to another place and flag down a shuttle that are zooming around.
Which means stand in a busy road until they stop.
Yes.
It's exactly what it was.
And so. he actually did. But I'm back there with this couple, and I'm trying to help. I'm flagging down shuttles that don't even go to our place. And so eventually he flags down. He stands in the road and basically throws himself under the bus and gets the shuttle finally to come off the other road to where they're actually supposed to be coming and picking people up. And so we get onto the shuttle, and we're pretty done by now. And this couple, they won't take them. And so we talked the shuttle person into and said, please contact your company because there's no way to get in touch with them to come pick these people up. And he did call him. So because we were there at that moment, God was able to use us, not because of anything special about us. It was probably in spite of us. But he was able to use us to help this couple actually get a hold of a shuttle so they could go get their vehicle. So by this time, we go get our shuttle. We go to our truck, get our truck. And I said, Gary and I started talking, and we're like, we can't leave this couple and this other couple that I'd gotten his number. So we can't leave him in the airport. You know, there's nothing. It's with a little three-year-old child. So I said, do you care if we take him with us, either try to find him a hotel, or do you care if we bring him home with us? And so he said, no. He said, I'm not leaving anybody in the airport. So we called him and said, hey, you don't know us from Adam. You don't know anything about us, but we wanted you to know. If you need some place to stay, our home is open, and we can come get you and take you home with us. And at this point, they're like, yes. Total strangers. We look kind of strange. Here, you know us because we're church, but in the airport, we look very strange. And so they ended up being and coming. We went and picked them up. We didn't know anything about them. They didn't know anything about us. But we got him in the car and started heading home. And I'll say this, and then I'll let you back into your part of the story. But on the way home, even though we didn't know each other at all, her daddy is a youth minister at a church in Oklahoma. He's been for her whole life. She's one of five adopted children with six natural siblings in that family. Her daddy's a full-time youth minister.
And her husband, just is 3 months in remission from cancer, from lymphoma. And part of why he was probably worn out into whatever, he had just finished all his treatments and everything. So for me, the thing I think out of our whole testimony from yesterday, beyond whatever he shares, is in spite of ourselves, if we still, in spite of our circumstances, even when we're not probably at our best, at our peak, and we're maybe not deliberately looking for ministry, ministry still happens if you watch for it and if you're open to letting God use you in any circumstance, because every single moment of that whole day, every single flight, and just like we said in the plane, even though God wasn't surprised, we had no clue why all of this was happening. But I know exactly why, because of a taxi ride and two couples. One is sitting in our house right now in a total stranger's home. We left them this morning because they didn't get into bed till 3. We left them this morning. We have strangers sitting in our home. We don't know them from anything. But to the minute, if any of those delays had not happened, I don't know where those couples would have ended up, but it would not have been in a bed with food and the provision of God, what God was trying to do for them. So even in our not as good, when we're not deliberately trying, even in our not best moments, God can still use you. So never, never say, I'm not in the right place, or I'm not in the right spirit, I'm not in the right attitude. Be obedient to the Lord, because you will be amazed how he can still use you if you're open and willing.
Amen. Verses 13 and 14 says, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his spirit to minister and love on those people. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. Verse 14 confirms the whole purpose for God's love dwelling in us. The verse tells us that the reason and the purpose for our love for each other and our love for other people is so that people can see the Father. I don't think the little girl at the desk with our suitcases saw the Father last night. It breaks my heart. But I can tell you this. I'm going to do better next time, okay? I'm going to do better next time. The purpose of our love is to testify of the Father and the Son, and to tell the world that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Did you know that the early church had a very special time that they celebrated this love that we're talking about for each other? They got together and they celebrated the love of God for them, their love of God, and their love for each other. And you know what they called it? The love feast. And it wasn't the eros, it wasn't the phileo, it was the agape feast, God's selfless giving love feast. That's what they did. And they celebrated this call to loving one another. They called it the love feast. You know what we call it today? Fellowship. You know what we call it today? Dinner on the grounds. Do you know what we call it today? Lord's Supper. That's what it was. They had a special time where they got together and had a meal to celebrate the fact that not only did God love them, but they loved God. Amen. And not only did they love God, but they loved one another. And they were going to show it to one another. So I'm going to ask you right now, would you take a reflection on my good points yesterday and my bad points yesterday? And would you commit to the Lord to do better? Would you pray with me? Will you take a moment right now, dear friends? Listen, would you take just this moment for your personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Will you look at your relationship with the Lord, and would you desire right now from your very heart to draw closer to him? Would you give thanksgiving to God for that relationship and just say, God, I want to draw closer. Do you want to draw closer? You can. That's just part of it. Husbands and wives, couples, listen to me. Would you right now pledge to the Lord your God to do better with them? To be a better husband, to be a better wife, to love them like you should. Now, what about your family, for your children, your grandchildren, your parents, your siblings? What about your church family? Will you do that? Will you pledge right now to say, God, I want my love for my church family and my family and for my neighbors to show the people around me that you are the Father. I want them to see by my love that God sent His Son. Will you make that commitment this morning? To ask God to use you in whatever situation that you might be in. That you might be used no matter what the situation is. No matter how many planes you've been bumped from. No matter how many times people at work have done you wrong. Or your family has done this or that. Or your neighbor has done this or that. Or no matter how long the air conditioner has been off. Or how many trees are down. That you're going to love people to your best of ability, and not your ability, but God's ability. Amen. The Holy Spirit of God. Will you do that? Father, this is our prayer. That you would help us to be drawn closer to you and to love one another, so that the world might know that not only are you the Lord our God, but that you sent your Son, and that the way we love each other would reflect that Jesus is real and His love changes things. Brother deacons, would you come forward at this time? You can continue to prepare your heart for this time, but deacons, if you would come forward.